Blog Talk Radio.
We are live here on Transformation Radio. I am your host, Sean Douglas. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all the listeners who are listening from wherever you are. Life Transformation Radio is all about life's transformations and how we got from point A to point B with the hiccups, the roller coasters, the blood, sweat, and tears we have poured into what we're doing now. It is all about our transformations. And my guest today is Ben Cattaneo. He is a risk management professional, podcast host, endurance athlete, and martial artist. Ben believes that risk, randomness, and uncertainty are the spice of life. He has always loved to read and watch how people in organizations deal with these things and has made a professional career out of risk management. Ben currently works as chief risk advisor for a major telecoms company in the UK. However, Ben's passion for risk and uncertainty goes beyond this. The concept of risk, in Ben's view, is misunderstood. Many believe that it is something negative and to be avoided. Ben's take is that it is nothing further from the truth. To not take risk, to not embrace uncertainty, is to not live. However, this needs to be done intelligently. Ben hosts a podcast, an amazing podcast, called All Things Risk. You can find it at www.allthingsrisk.co.uk. Amazing podcast. It features an exploration of uncertainty, resilience, which I love, and risk in all aspects of life via long-form conversations with fascinating guests. The show aims to help people become more comfortable and confident in taking risks, be accepting of uncertainty, and become more resilient. In Ben's view, without risk and uncertainty, we cannot have variety, wonder, compassion, gratitude, or love. A Canadian who is based in London, Ben has lived and worked in South Korea, Switzerland, the Philippines, and now the UK. He has traveled to every continent on Earth. Ben has been given several professional presentations on risk at industry conferences and has done TV and print interviews for BBC, Financial Times, and other publications. He has written several articles on risk management and has authored chapters in books on the topic. Wow, dude. How does it feel hearing all that?
That sounds like too much. That sounds like that's great. But
like awesome.
I'm just a guy. So but thank you. It's a pleasure to be on your show, Sean. And wonderful opportunity. So thank you.
If anybody wants to ask Ben any questions, the call-in number is 657-383-1109. It is 657-383-1109. You can call in and talk to Ben. So let me talk to you for a second about this, man. Holy wow. Like your bio is just read it like a who, man. Like you're doing some awesome things, man. Why are you, what brought you to this moment? Why did you decide to do what you do?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. Great opening question. You know, I didn't decide to be where I am now, you know, 30 years ago or whenever, when I was a high school student or anything like that. And it was, I call it, it's a nonlinear path. You know, it was never, you know, Steve Jobs made that wonderful quote when he gave that commencement speech at Stanford, that you join up the dots looking backwards, not looking forwards.
Yeah.
So yep. I can see those dots join up now, but when I was setting out to, you know, do whatever, I never imagined that I would have traveled to just about every continent, except for Antarctica. I have to say, I haven't been to Antarctica. That I do what I do now in terms of my professional career, that I have a wonderful wife. I think one of the important things that everyone has to do, and I guess what I did at certain points is I just took whatever opportunity was in front of me. One of the things I really loved when I was growing up as a kid, I loved games, and I loved games that involved randomness, right, where you have a lot of rolls of the dice. And I'm talking about role playing games and
stuff like that. Okay, I got you.
And when I was a kid, me and another friend of mine, we created this this game that was all about professional wrestling. And we're sort of 12, 13 years old, and we made up this world, right? And you know, it was just a world about, you know, professional wrestling was really, really big in the 80s, and that was about the time. And I just loved the we created this sort of narrative around, you know, the different wrestlers, and it was all based on what happens with the rolls of the dice. And in some way that kind of became a bit of a metaphor for life for me, that, you know, there's different things that can happen to you, good and bad. And it kind of depends a little bit on the rolls of the dice, and whatever's in front of you, you just have to take advantage of. I always wanted to travel. I was always curious about different cultures, and I was born in Argentina, actually. And I first moved to the U.S. when I was four, lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan for 3 years, and then we moved to Canada, and I grew up in Canada. But I guess always had a little bit of an exposure to different cultures, and I was curious about different cultures. So for example, I didn't grow up in a rich family by any stretch, but I took advantage of opportunities to travel. When I was in high school, I managed to get accepted for an exchange program to France. So I went. I had an opportunity when I was in university to go on a seminar in West Africa, and I made that happen, and I went. And then when I finished university, I got an opportunity to teach English in South Korea. So I went. And these sorts of things just kind of started to add themselves up. And, you know, lo and behold, I got curious about different things, and I managed to make a career out of risk management in a non-linear way, which I can get into, but hopefully that gives you a little bit of a sense. It's, you know, it's not, awesome. It's not all that straightforward. And I have on one of my podcast episodes, one of my guests, a woman by the name of Anna Glover, gave a wonderful quote, and I love it because I think it's just so true. It's better to have a compass, not a map, that if you have a sort of general direction where you want to go versus, you know, kind of a precise thing. Well, I have to get this thing, I have to get this degree or this qualification, or else my life is going to be ruined because then I can't get this and I can't get that. There's so many ways to get to where you want to go as long as you have a sort of general direction.
Dude, that is amazing. Like, have a compass rather than a map. Man,
yeah.
I'm taking notes, man. I'm learning.
Yeah, it's not mine.
I remember when we were on your show on your podcast, man. I mean, there was so much that at the same time. I mean, I was learning, you know, from you, you know, just as we were talking, and it just, man, it never amazes me the things that just one sentence can change someone's perspective. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's what's great about podcasts and these kinds of conversations. It's because, you know, you have an exchange with someone, and, you know, you both sides learn, and it's almost like a good conversation is like a piece of art, you know, and someone might be listening to this and, you know, someone might pick up on something that you say in a totally different way than you or I might, but, you know, it's what makes this whole genre and this whole medium really, really powerful.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. So before all this started, who was Ben before you got to where you are now? What kind of person were you? What were you doing?
Well, I was thinking about this, and this is a really tough question because I was always me, and I always will be me. And, you know, we talk about, you know, this is a show about transformations, and I've been thinking about this because I also on my show and also, you know, I had you as a guest, and that was a wonderful episode and a great conversation. And I've had other guests that have had, you know, a situation where they sort of hit a low or hit a rock bottom, and out of that came a kind of a transformation, a metamorphosis, you know, this kind of thing. And I'm an avid endurance athlete, and it's amazing how many endurance athletes take up these sports because, you know, they wanted to lose weight or they're overcoming addiction or whatever. I've never had that. I've never hit rock bottom. Sometimes I listen to these conversations. I'm like, wow, that was such a powerful thing for people to go through. And it's almost in a perverse way, a bit of a gift to these people that they had a crisis. And I've never had that. I suppose fortunately I've had plenty of lows in my life.
Sure.
But I guess one of the things around that is that, if we're, I guess we're sort of always transforming, and if we're not careful, we can kind of drift into some bad habits or bad places, but we never know it. And, we can kind of be like that frog in, that's boiling and never really know that the water's getting progressively warmer.
Yeah.
So I've never really had that. I've always tried to figure stuff out through trial and error. I guess one of the things I've always felt just growing up, moving from whether it was Argentina to the States, to Canada, and now all the countries I've lived now in the UK, I've never felt like I completely fit in anywhere where I am. And I'm cool with that. And I think that was more of a constant than anything else. So it's kind of difficult for me to answer that question. I'm always sort of inquisitive. I always try to do the right thing. Not always, I always have the best of intentions, I suppose, but sometimes
way good. Yeah. I think it's fascinating kind of where we start out, because looking back, we never really know what we're capable of when we're first starting out.
Yeah.
We have this great idea like, man, maybe I should do a podcast, that'd be a good idea, and you're kind of unsure, but later down the road when everything is successful and you're looking like, man, look what I've accomplished. Like, yeah. I think that I'm capable of doing it, but to really see it, to really see that it's a tangible thing that I can touch and see and feel and everything. Like, we always want to, I don't think anybody wakes up wanting to fail at everything. I don't think that's possible. Like, nobody wakes up and says, I think I'll fail at everything today. Like, nobody does that.
Yeah. As you're saying that, a few things do spring to mind. I mean, I think when I was younger, and I was I'm type A, personality.
Oh yeah.
Always
yep.
have best grades, best everything. I'm, bit of a perfectionist. And I suppose, when I was younger, I would be very much afraid of not getting, an A, or, not doing, feeling like I've sort of let myself down and this kind of thing. And I suppose that, that created a little bit of sense of fear and anxiety when I was younger. I think now I'm okay with trying something. If it doesn't work, that's fine. So I think if we're talking about a transformation, that's probably one of the biggest things. I don't know if it's a function of age or experience or whatever. Now I'm just like, that didn't work. Okay, no problem. We'll move on to the next thing.
Definitely got to say yes and figure it out later.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you just got to say yes. Okay, I'm going to do this. Like, set your mind to it. So looking back, what do you think was that transformation? Like, you feel you became a better person, or what was the vehicle to get you to where you are now? How did you get here?
Yeah, I think just a variety of things, Sean. There's no one thing. I think one of the great things that anyone can do is travel. And I'm not talking about going on a tour where if it's Tuesday you're in Switzerland and then the next day you're in Spain and whatever. I'm talking about traveling in a way that you spend a little bit of time in another culture and you get to know the people and you get to know how things work, and that can be difficult, and you can put yourself out of your comfort zone, but I think all of these kind of influences do add up. Like, when I was teaching English in South Korea after I finished university, and at one level that was a difficult experience. It was my first time being overseas in that for that extended period of time. It's a very different culture. About halfway through, I was feeling quite quite homesick and You know, it's a bit of a, there's culture shock. Like, culture shock doesn't happen to me. It doesn't happen right away because everything, when you move to a new place, everything's sort of new and exciting and everything, but then that wears off and then you kind of stuck with, wow, this culture is really different. And I don't know how to figure, you know, how to maneuver and figure things out. And then after I finished that experience and I moved on, I would get kind of, I would fondly remember my time there. I almost get a little bit homesick for Korea, and just the ways in which people look at the world there. And I think those little things that you throw yourself into these little situations and that they kind of influence you, and that sort of all adds up. And I think there is something to be said for getting yourself out of your comfort zone. And, you know, slowly you'll, it'll never happen right away. We talk about transformation.
Oh yeah.
And people want that quick thing, that one thing, give me the one thing, the magic pill that's going to, you know, move me from, you know, unhappy to happy or whatever. And there's no such thing. So,
exactly.
I think there's these little, you know, transformation happens slowly, and it's just by just doing something on a regular basis, whether that's stepping a little bit out of your comfort zone, trying something new. You know, I think that sort of variety, throwing yourself into a bit of uncertainty, not knowing, throwing yourself in a situation where you don't know what the outcome might be, that can be very powerful. You're going to learn a lot about yourself if you do.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. And definitely you say yes and figure it out later, that's you just going in head first, feet first, whatever you want to call it. That's you saying, okay, you know what? I'm in, screw it, do it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's it's a great way to live life. And I talk a lot, I think, in terms of risk, and there's risk taking and there's recklessness. And I think, you know, we're not talking about, well, I think I might be able to fly, so I'll just buy a Batman suit and I'll get on the roof of my house and I'm going to jump off of the house and see if I can. No,
right.
You know, that's recklessness. But taking little, little steps where you don't know how it's going to work out, but you'll figure it. You think you'll figure it out. And I think there's something to be said for, you know, the sort of sink or swim situations. But, you know, by sink, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to, you know, go broke or, you know, throw everything away, but it, you know, it does mean that, you know, I talk about the zone of regret versus the zone of disappointment. And I think this is an important concept in terms of risk management, that you can kind of look at something and it's uncertain. And well, if it doesn't work out, you might be disappointed, but you knew that, you know, that might happen, versus the zone of regret, which is, you know, I didn't go for it. And I never know if I'd be able to do this thing, or I just didn't think it through. And now, you know, I've lost everything I have, and, it's a regret. There's a way of, you know, looking at the world and taking risk intelligently. And I think that's all part of our transformation. So I think slowly all of this stuff seeped into my being. So it's very hard for me to think of one. Yeah, I can think of different moments, but it's very hard for me to think of one specific moment.
Okay. And where does resilience play into all that? Like, where did you think the resilience came from?
Resilience, I think, is just a very important concept. And it's associated with, you know, uncertainty, in that, you know, so I love to talk about the power of negative visualization. Right? So it sounds like so dark and so I'm a little bit of a contrarian. I'm not a huge fan of positive thinking just for the sake of positive thinking, because, you know, if you talk to people, like if you think about the people in the Philippines where I lived that were affected a few years ago by this typhoon, and they lost everything, lost their homes, lost everything. So, you could say, well, they didn't think positively enough. Well, you know, frankly, that's not good enough. Right. So I think, you know, in terms of, just thinking, you know, let's just think positively and everything will come to fruition. Well, there's a bit of, there's something to be said for that, but that's incomplete to me. It's kind of misleading. Right. And so the power of negative visualization, which where, you know, some of this resilience thinking comes in, is, okay, I want to do something. I want to accomplish something. So go to, like, let your imagination, first of all, just let your imagination run wild. What is the worst possible thing that could happen? And I find that if if I do that and I work backwards from that, one of two things happens. The first could be that the worst case scenario is not as bad as I think, right. Or I figure out that the worst case scenario is something I can do something about. And that gives me a lot of kind of confidence.
And you're prepping yourself already for it.
Sorry?
I said you're prepping yourself already.
Yeah, you're prepping yourself. You're also giving yourself some confidence because, you know, it might that's just like we're talking just, you know, worst case. So now you've kind of given yourself a fair bit of confidence. But I mean, I think resilience comes into that. So resilience is, you know, the ability to is the ability to bounce back, but also the ability to persevere and to withstand. And
right.
I quite like the way you look at it, in which there's sort of mental and spiritual and physical and social resilience. And so that regardless of what might happen, for example, you know, your family, you know, is a source of resilience, your health.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think we don't know what's going to happen, but we can kind of take care of a few things that make, you know, that sort of that worst case more tolerable. And I think, you know, I think there's also a concept called there's a book called The Black Swan, which you may have heard of. And the author's name is Nassim Taleb. And he also talks about something that's almost beyond resilience, which is he calls it anti-fragile. So if you think about something that breaks on, you know, the slightest of touches, fragile, resilient is something that maybe doesn't break, and anti-fragile is something that, you know, that kind of that gains in strength when something bad happens. And actually there are people, particularly in the entrepreneurial space, and I'm not really there yet, that are they, you know, as soon as something kind of changes, then they can move. You know, they know how to move very quickly and take advantage of that. So, you know, I think resilience is an important concept, and where people in my experience, where I guess a lot of dissatisfaction, unhappiness comes from is attachment to certain outcomes. And that's not resilient. That's not resilient sort of behavior. Right. And that could be, you know, I need to buy this house. I need to have the perfect house. I need to have the perfect, you know, the perfect car. I need to get this, spend a lot of money to get this MBA. And after I do that, then, you know, everything's going to be great. That's not a resilient way of living your life. A resilient way of living your life is to give yourself a lot of options, a lot of possibilities. So, you know, don't take that huge debt to buy this, you know, this car. Don't, you know, you
right.
go 200 grand in debt so you can get this like really fancy MBA. Give yourself more possibilities to play with and more options. I always believe in trying to create some options for yourself. And if you can do that, the choice that gives you the more options is the more resilient one. And you know, the better one for you. Never, you know, it's sort of very basic stuff, isn't it? But you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket, but it's the same sort of concept. Yeah. The more optionality we have.
It works though.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It really works. You know, I love how you said that, man. Like, you have to be resilient, and you cited a couple examples, and you gave a way for us to kind of model by. It's like if I read, the happiness, what's that book called, the Happiness Advantage or the Happiness Factor by Sean Atcher. You know the book I'm talking about?
Okay. I've heard of it, but I've not.
So if I read that book and then I read, let's say, Greg Reed, 3 Feet from Gold, and then I read, The Richest Man in Babylon by George S. Clayson, and I read Start with Why with Simon Sinek. I say I read these books, and then I'm like, cool books, and then I put them away.
Yeah.
And I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be, knowledge only works for a little while, but at some point you have to take action.
That's
what you're saying, is you have to take action, but you have to take calculated and strategic action, not reckless action.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't have Absolutely. To be super strategic. You don't have to create this sort of matrix
sure.
of, you know, possibilities to create a huge spreadsheet of what I could do or whatever. It's just some like simple rules of thumbs. Like if I try this, you know, will I go broke? Again, this is sort of power of negative visualization. Will I go broke? Could I die? Could I, contract a horrible disease? You know, whatever. Okay. No.
Sure.
Okay. Right. So, or if any of that happens, well, how can I sort of limit that? And then think about, well, what's on the flip side? What's the other side of that is if I write this book, if I write this blog post, if I start this podcast, if I start this business venture, what might the upside be? And you want to get to, where there's a bit of an asymmetry, where the downside is kind of limited because you're sort of just taking these little experiments, and the upside can be pretty big. And that is, I think that's a really good rule of thumb to when you're considering a decision, or you're mulling something over.
Yeah, definitely, definitely agree. So having all of this knowledge that you have, what was the best part about it?
I don't know. I don't know if there is a best part, Sean.
Like it's all good.
No, it's not all good. I'm a very we talk about action. I'm a very analytical person, so I can deliberate a lot. I can talk myself in circles. I can make something very very sort of if I'm too scared, I can make it all sound like I'm doing this big analysis to justify why I shouldn't take any action. And that's kind of a downside. So I have to temper my analytical side with a side around driving and, as you say, action. And,
sure.
And I think, there's a wonderful, quote from the Book of the Samurai, which is, the samurai always make their decisions within the space of 7 breaths. And, the idea behind that is we need to deliberate, but there comes a point where more deliberation is, doesn't help you. In fact, it hurts you. So
right.
If you're getting sort of marginal, and this is something I try to enact for myself, I'm sort of getting marginal returns. So if you're going to read another article or another book or another, you're mulling something over and it's not giving you much more knowledge, then, I think it's time to make a decision. You've reached a decision point. Every decision point involves, a bit of a leap of faith, because there's, you're making a decision about something that's uncertain. Nothing is certain in this world. So what you're trying to do is shrink that level of uncertainty. It's like, two edges of a cliff and you're trying to shrink them, but they'll never completely meet. You're going to have to jump over at some point. So, if you've deliberated and, you can't, the more you read, it isn't helping, and somehow you just have to decide. So, I guess to answer your question is a way of me not really answering the question. There's no upside. I mean, there's
no right or wrong answer.
There is a downside to reading a lot and to knowing a lot, because you can only use so much at knowledge at some, at a particular time. And I guess there's another thing I've thought about as you're talking about this. So I think there's also a pleasure and a joy in learning and reading books. And I enjoy reading and learning stuff, even if I might not use the knowledge. But what I might be doing is I might be filling my subconscious with some good ideas. At some point, I might be thinking about something and boom, an idea pops up, whether I'm going for a walk or going on a run or whatever. And I'm like, where did that come from? So I think that's one of the upsides actually of trying to soak in as much knowledge and, people who love to learn and love to play with ideas like me. I think one of the upsides is that, along the way you get these ideas that, you can kind of been, again, in the background, you can figure out, well, that's where that came from, but, they might be available to you when you didn't realize.
Yeah, absolutely. So you said, reading too much reading, but not applying is kind of the downside. So what do you think was the worst part about your transformation or your journey? Like, is there something that sticks out to you? Like, man, this really sucked. Like, kind of wish I didn't have to go through that, but is there a worst part to it all?
I don't know if there's a worst part. I mean, there are advantages and there are, disadvantage disadvantages from the kind of life I've chosen. And one of the disadvantages is that, you know, in traveling and, you know, living different countries, I guess one of the disadvantages is that, you know, I'm further away from, you know, my parents, my family, the people that I grew up with and that I'm close to. So that's definitely a disadvantage. And, you know, I did mention that I've kind of always felt a little bit like an outsider wherever I've been. And I've been able to, I think, parlay that into a strength, not a weakness, but it can feel a little bit like a weakness.
Sure.
If you're, you know, you're in a part of the world and someone's, you know, people are sort of off visiting their, I don't know, their family in a long weekend or so doing some, you know, sort of traditional thing. And you're kind of, you know, you're on your own. Then I think, it can be, it can feel a little bit like a disadvantage, but you know, that's part of the choices, that I've made.
I definitely can identify with that. Definitely being in the military, you know, as a veteran,
right.
You know, all the countries we go to and the different places that we work at and everything, and you trying to readjust, you definitely get looked at a little differently, especially when I was firstly stationed in England, at RAF Lakenheath, and I was so scared to go overseas for the first time. I was like, man, like, you know, I don't know anything. I don't know any of their cultures. I mean, I'm 19. Like, what do I know? You know, and come to find out, man, they're just like me. Like, I mean, we're all
right.
Kind of the same people trying
yeah.
to figure our way and trying to figure things out. And, you know,
sure.
you take what you know and you do whatever they're doing, like, you know, in
sure.
the country that you're in, you know, and it's all about the culture and the different things. So yeah, man, definitely have to agree with you on that and then identify exactly with what you're saying. Yeah. For the listeners, if you would like to ask Ben a question or call in and talk to myself or Ben, the number is 657-383-1109, 657-383-1109. So through it all, here we are right now, looking back. Who has been your biggest influencer? Who's
right.
been your
well,
person? You know what I mean? That's influenced you.
I guess I'll have to say my wife.
Okay.
I've been married for over 15 years, and I met my wife when we were living in the Philippines, and she's the most beautiful person in the world, and I'm supremely lucky to have met her, and
yeah.
You know, and just someone who's given me a completely different perspective on life. We come from different cultures, and when you're in a cross-cultural relationship, you have to put a little bit more effort into it. But I think the rewards are worth it. So she's definitely one of my, you know, my biggest supporters, and you know, someone who's given me a very different way to, you know, to look at the world. I mean, I grew up in a relatively small family. She's from a huge family. And from a different, you know, different culture, but you know, that's been very, very eye-opening, and I think very positive for me. So that she's, you know, definitely my biggest supporter and probably my biggest influencer.
Okay.
I'll have to shout out to my parents as well, who've been you know, wonderfully supportive growing up, and my mom continues to be my biggest fan, it would appear, of my
awesome.
Podcast as well.
Dude, it was
great.
Yeah, definitely, man. Yeah. Definitely. Because when I was sending stuff out, you know, I just assumed. I was like, oh my gosh, how can I listen? You know what I mean? I was like, oh yeah, listen here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I just figured it was the mom. So if mom's listening, hey mom, on the radio. So awesome. Yeah, biggest influence, biggest supporter. Amazing, because we have to have those people in our lives. Like,
yeah.
We just can't do it all on our own. I firmly believe
absolutely
that unless you are a superhuman, you cannot do it on your own, man. There's got to be somebody to offload, you know, the negativity and to offload the, not be like a verbal punching bag, but just that person to just confide in and be like, man, this is how I'm feeling. And really, it comes down to your love languages. You know, my love language
yeah.
is affirmation. So if my wife affirms me at least two or three times a day, telling me how amazing I am and how good looking I am, then I'm good to go, you know. But in a way that supports me lovingly and says, it's okay, you can do it, you know.
Yeah, we need that.
I think that's
yeah.
huge.
Yeah,
huge.
We definitely all need that. It's a human, I think it's a human need, and you know, it's very important. It's very important to have a support network around you. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be your wife. It can be, you know, lots of people. And, you know, it's super important. I think we as human beings, you know, that we are tribal type of creatures, and, you know, we crave community and sport. And I'm an introvert by nature. I like my alone time, but you know, even I have to, you know, if I'm alone for too much, I go a little nuts, and we do need our communities.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
Families,
I mean,
course.
We don't seem like the introvert type. I mean,
no, no. Well,
you know, well,
I think the introverts are
well-traveled.
Yeah. Introverts are misunderstood. No, I mean, okay. And I sort of, I don't know, the Myers-Briggs type indicator. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's personality type.
My guest tomorrow, Mike Phillips, he's a Myers-Briggs certified.
Cool.
He's always telling me about it. So I have a familiarization with it.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that I call myself an introvert in that sense of the word, which is, it doesn't mean I'm antisocial or I can't relate to people or anything like that. It's where you get your energy from. And introverts are people that need, you know, some time alone to recharge. And that's me. Whereas extroverts, they need to be in a big group to recharge. And that's how I use the terms. I'm definitely introvert. I need my time to just sort of, you know, just be with my own myself and my own thoughts.
Sure, yeah.
And recharge. And that's what I mean. I give presentations. I do workshops. I facilitate things. I host a podcast. You know, I'm around people all the time. But, you know, just so it doesn't mean I can't relate to people. But it's just how do I recharge? So that's
absolutely.
You know, I'm an introvert in that sense. Yeah.
Sure. Do you feel like your transformation is complete? Like,
No.
No. I don't think so.
No.
I think we're always growing. I heard a quote, if you're not growing, you're dying.
I think there's, that's absolutely, I think that's spot on. That's so true. I love that quote from the cellist Pablo Casals, who's 90 years old. He was asked, you know, why do you still play? Why do you still practice? And he said, well, because I feel like I'm getting better. I'm making some progress. And we're either growing or we're shrinking, you know. There's no such thing as stasis. And if you think that you're there, quote unquote there, then look out, because you're probably missing something pretty big. I think we're always I think it's a basic human need to grow, and whether that's acquiring more knowledge, getting, you know, I don't know, whether it's getting fitter or making
sure.
more human connections or whatever. No, it's never complete. And there's, you know, perfection is kind of impossible. It's all about the journey. It's never a destination. I think one of the red flags is if you start thinking to yourself that you've done everything you think you could possibly do. I love martial arts, and one of the quotes, one of my favorite interviews was with Pierre Burton, who's a historian, Canadian historian, 1971 with Bruce Lee. And they're talking about, he's talking about this Tai Chi and old people who are slowly moving their bodies. Well, what is that? And Bruce Lee says, it's a form of martial arts, like a moving meditation. And the whole thing is that flowing water never grows stale. You could be moving very slowly, but I think we're always moving. And I think it's important.
That's a good segue into where we were going next, man. Where are you headed now? Like, you got any new adventure, businesses, family? What's going on, man?
Yeah, well, I guess the biggest thing I'm sort of doing outside of my professional work is the podcast I started this last year. I started as an excuse to explore risk in all aspects of life. And I don't really know where I'm going with it, but it's been a year now. I've got 40 episodes under my belt, and I'm having a blast with it. And I don't know where that's going to go. But again, it's it's one of these sort of limited downside, but potentially, you know, kind of big upside things that I started that, you know, maybe this is going to create, I don't know what it will create, but I think it's definitely, I'm on the right path with doing that. And that's one of the things. I'm also getting, you know, very comfortable, more and more comfortable with the idea of being a bit of an entrepreneur. And I'm entrepreneurial, but I'm not an entrepreneur. So I guess I'm kicking around a few things. I had a guest on my show. I haven't posted the episode yet, but you know, he was talking about, well, he just kind of takes his job wherever he goes. Cause he is sort of an advisor / consultant. And, I think that's a great, you know, it's potentially a great way to live. And, you know, I love the idea of having lots of options and, you know, places in which you can live and, you know, and do things. So that's definitely on my mind, but I don't know what exactly it's going to lead to. I'm enjoying what I'm doing now professionally, as well. So
that's awesome.
I'm trying to experiment a little bit more with different things, and the podcast is certainly one of those areas. So we'll just have to see.
Good.
It's yeah.
I know when I was looking for you know, like I was looking for resilience, I'm like, man, I want to listen to some podcasts on the way to work, like when I run. And I was already listening to, you know, like the famous, you know, everybody famous has a podcast, you know, like Simon Sinek and, you know, Grant Cardone and all those guys, you know, they always had those things. But I was like, I want something, you know, just something different, you know. And I was just looking, you know, for resilient stuff and kind of things that I'm doing, trying to generate ideas and kind of where I was headed. And then I came across yours. I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. I listened to two episodes. I was like, man, I'm hooked. And then, they had the little the survey, whatever the scheduler thing, you know, to become a guest. And
right.
I'm like, let's do this, man. This is awesome.
Cool.
You know,
yeah.
So I listened to a couple of episodes and I was like, man, this is what I'm looking for. So yeah, man, I'm definitely a fan. I'm definitely a fan of your podcast. So with all that stuff going on, do you think that you would go back and change anything? Are you pretty happy with kind of how things turned out?
I think it's, you know, going back and thinking about, you know, what the, you know, the what ifs and so on, can be a dangerous, not dangerous, but it can be a depressing thing. But you know,
absolutely.
I think I try not to do too much of that. But I suppose if I were to, you know, and this is a question I've asked my some of my guests, which is, you know, if you were give some advice to your 20-year-old self, what would it be?
Yep.
That's
where the question came from.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me it would be to be a little less serious, to have a little bit more fun, and to focus more on the process of what you're doing versus the outcome. You know, the outcome, whether it's, you know, a good grades or good job, money, whatever, you know, try and make that the byproduct of something that, you know, you enjoy doing. And I think a lot of people run into these sort of dead ends, or that's how people get into, you know, sort of golden handcuffs or a job that they, you know, that pays money, but they don't quite like. And I think I learned, you know, I think I learned how to more or less enjoy, you know, avoid that. But I wish I, you know, when I was growing up, I wish I had a little bit more fun, and I wish I'd learned that lesson a little bit earlier in life.
Sure.
I think I would have saved myself, you know, more, it would save myself, you know, stress and, you know, worries and, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, these things come at you in different phases of your life. And I guess the other thing that I would tell my 20-year-old self is that there is no one thing that is going to determine, you know, the success or failure of your life. It's not one test result. It's not one, you know, one course. It's not, you know, one job. It's, you know, there's different things that are turning points, but, you know, don't get hung up on the one thing that's going to make your life wonderful, because there isn't anything like that.
Exactly.
When I was thinking about this question and today, there's another great book. I'm a runner, so I'm going to throw in some running stuff here.
Okay.
There's a great book called Running with the Kenyans by Adhiranand Finn is his name. And so the Kenyans are, you know, they're really big distance runners. They're, you know, they win everything. And he goes to to Kenya. And by the way, the spoiler alert, because I'm going to, you know, it's a wonderful book, by the way. But, you know, he talks about, well, what is it? Is it the diet? Is it the fact that they train at altitude? Is it the fact that they run everywhere because, they, you know, they don't have transportation? Is it the genes? You know, what is it? And he goes, analyzes all of these factors. And at the end of the day, it's no one thing. It's no one thing that makes the Kenyans better runners than, you know, other people from other countries. And it's kind of like that movie Kung Fu Panda, where I've got the secret scroll, the secret, and you know he opens up the scroll, and the secret is that there's no secret. So you know, I think it's that's a great. Those are some great lessons that I certainly wish I had learned earlier on in life.
Yeah, there's definitely, I think everybody is on the pursuit. I mean, you can see it. When I started last year, so I started building a business for speaking. I mean, I've been speaking since 2009. I was a former drill instructor for 4 years, and I'm currently a master resilience trainer. I teach the resilience skill sets, and I fell in love with speaking and teaching, and I love doing it. So last year, I said, let's go build a business. Here's what I found out. Everybody has the best product. Everybody has a secret that in 3 days you will become a millionaire. Yeah. Like everybody has the go-to formula, like my page, go to my website, buy my products. You are going to be the best of the best if you buy my stuff. Like everybody has that. You know what I mean? That's what I've noticed. So I like how you said there really is no secret. It's not just it's not just one thing. Like you can't just drink SlimFast and just expect you that is the exact reason why you're going to lose weight or whatever. Like it takes exercise and diet and constant. So with that said, what do you think was the best resource that you found? No one gave it to you. You just kind of stumbled on it. You found it on your own. What do you think is the best resource that you found during your journey?
I have a real problem answering that question because there is no one. I guess there's no one.
Exactly.
Yes. You know, there's no one thing. And as you say, you know, we like to. I think we live in a hack kind of culture. You know, that there are plenty of things that are very useful. I think if you know, one piece of advice is to expose yourself to lots of things and take what is useful to you and discard what isn't useful to you.
Exactly.
You know, I think, and if that, you know, this is a bit of a contradiction in terms, but that would be to me, the kind of the one thing, critical thinking is a very important life skill. So when you're presented with these outrageous claims, that you can, you know, take this pill and lose all this weight or take this course and all of a sudden everything will be, you'll be transformed. Well, there is no such thing as that. And, you know, you have to think very carefully about the, why people are saying that, and what, what it is that you can do and to think, you know, to think on your own, using this kind of tools. I mean, I think, just the power of thinking for yourself, thinking critically is very valuable. And so I think that would be up there in terms of, I've never come across anything that's, you know, that's, wow, this is fantastic. I've come across tons of stuff that's cool and I love gadgets and I love great ideas. And, you know, I love to play with ideas, but there's never one thing.
Okay, so with that said then, what do you think was the best resource someone gave you then that they thought was amazing, and what was it?
Again, I'm going to struggle here.
I got a friend of mine named Tim Rode. Yeah. Tim Rode gave me a book that says, it's The Richest Man in Babylon by George S. Clayton. Uh-huh. He's like, if you want to be successful with money, go ahead and read the book. And I read the book, and I was like, wow, dude, like that's awesome. Maybe it's a gadget, maybe it's an app, maybe it's there something that you were like, wow, man, this thing right here has revolutionized my life?
There's tons of, I would go back to this book, The Black Swan. It's a dense book that, that I think it's some work to get through it. But for me, it was a very kind of profound way of looking at the world. And it's just, the premise is just that we don't know how the world, it's better to go into the world not knowing how it works and accepting some level of uncertainty rather than thinking, that I know I have the answers. And that's probably a book that I came across. There are plenty of things that people have given me that I found really useful, but I have to admit I can't think of any one that stands out.
Yeah,
so,
not a problem.
Yeah,
not a
so
problem.
Sorry about
so
that.
Much.
Yeah, not the greatest answer
there's
to your,
so
to your
much,
question.
Though. I mean, think about
there's
how
so
many
great stuff
money
out there.
Books there are. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Google,
yeah.
Like, man, like, I remember, like, Windows 95 and playing,
right.
like Wolfenstein game, shooting game or whatever, like Wolfenstein and, like,
right.
Duke Nukem 3D and,
remember
like, Windows
Doom.
95
Doom
was,
good.
Like,
yeah.
Doom,
yeah.
yeah. Like there's yeah. so, and now you look at the video games now, like, well, this is way past what I was playing. Like, this,
yeah.
like
yeah.
this is,
yeah.
you know what I mean? But I literally, AOL and dial-up, and but we all make fun of it. Like, you know, you hear the tones from
yeah.
AOL, like the dial-up tones, and you're like, whoa, what are you back from the Stone Age? Dude, it was like 10 years ago. Like, literally, if you think about it, it was about 15 years ago, I think, like, dial-up was still kind of being used. But, yeah, man, now, 15 years later, there was so many resources. I mean,
in fact, there's,
I mean, anything
there's
you
almost,
want to do.
Yeah, there's almost too much. I think we're overstimulated. I think we have too much choice, which can be very paralyzing. There's a great book. If your listeners are interested, they should look up Dan Ariely, Ariely, who's a behavioral okay. economist. He's written a book called Predictably Irrational. And it just talks about how we're all irrational, but in predictable ways. But you know, I think one of the ways that we can make our lives a little bit better is just to simplify some of this stuff. So choose a book, and then just read it. You know, just focus on that book.
Yeah.
Rather than I think this. I even do this in my Kindle. I've got I've got a bunch of books I haven't yet read. So focus on one thing and then move on to the next one. I think there's some really good advice in that.
You definitely have some good resources, man. Give me like a shameless plug, like plug whatever you want to plug, man. You're
sure.
so full of like these resources.
Well, I'm going to plug my podcast, All Things
yeah.
Risk, because, I started a year ago, and I actually do have a book list there, of some books that people might be interested in, but they can go to allthingsrisk.co.uk. Then, you can find all my episodes, my back catalog. I've got some really great conversations. I've got some, books on that I like on one of the pages. I've got other podcasts that I listen to on that page. People can find all the different ways to get the show. And there's, sometimes I have people like you on the show and we talk about resilience.
Yeah.
And sometimes I talk to adventurers and athletes and people who have done some really amazing things. And, you get to hear their stories. And then sometimes it's just me and a microphone. And then sometimes I have guests that talk about sort of big picture things, where the world is going and that kind of thing. So if people are interested in, risk, resilience, uncertainty, randomness, all of this kind of stuff, then, you can check that out, allthingsrisk.co.uk. And, you can subscribe and you can sign up for the newsletter. You can give me some feedback, and that would be, I will shamelessly plug that any day of the week, Sean.
Right. Yeah. No, man, the second or third from the last episode, I just listened to one a couple of days ago. It was like the second or third to last episode, and really hit on that adventure part. Dude, I love that, man. Like,
right.
It was an adventure that was, again, going traveling and doing everything else and been to all these countries. And I found that totally fascinating because I've been to a lot. Like, when I was in England, I've been to Scotland, Ireland, been to mainland Europe a couple times. Never been to Asia.
I mean, I had a guy who kayaked the Amazon, Taron Kent Hume, and he, you know, 6,000 kilometer journey kayaking the Amazon. He was at one point, he and his buddy were chased by pirates. I had another woman who cycled throughout Latin America, South America, with no money. So, you know, where do people come up with this stuff, and how do they, you know, how do they do this? And, you know, I'm just fascinated by it. So I get to, I get to have these conversations and record them and share them with people.
Yeah, definitely. And some people don't want to get up to walk to the mailbox. It's
no,
the road.
That's right. And that's okay too. Not that's okay. I mean, we all have our different, you know, sort of levels. And so for some people, you know, just getting up and just having a different meal for breakfast might be, you know, pushing a little bit. That's okay. Push the comfort zone a little bit, you know, before you know it, you'll see the world differently.
Yeah. Awesome, man. So as we close, what is the best nugget of knowledge that you could use to motivate or inspire somebody? Like, what's the best nugget of knowledge you can give somebody?
Embrace uncertainty.
Embrace the uncertainty.
When we don't know what might happen, that's where the wonder and the spice of life, that's where it is. So, and if it scares you a little bit, go towards that fear, go towards that uncertainty, go with some intelligence and some preparedness, but go.
Awesome. So would that be your call to action then? Like just go, just do it. Like embrace that uncertainty and get out of your comfort zone, because you never know where that direction and that growth is going to take you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, do so with some intelligence. We're not talking about recklessness. So know a little bit about what you're getting into, but when you come to that point where you kind of have those, you know, you've done all the homework and you've prepared as much as you can and you've got those little goosebumps, that's where wonderful things happen.
That's amazing. Yeah, I completely agree with that. I couldn't have said it better. So as we wrap up, do you have any last words?
No, I think this was great, and keep doing what you're doing. I love the live format as well. It's it makes it a lot of fun, and it adds a little bit of risk to it as well. So keep doing what you're doing.
Definitely.
If people are interested, I'm also on Twitter as well. @riskthings is the handle, and you know, if people want to find me there, and you can, you know, send me a note or a tweet or what, you know, whatever. Happy to connect with some of your listeners.
Awesome. Man, I am so appreciative of you and your time. And I know it's like super late over there, but man, this conversation has been absolutely amazing. I've got a ton of notes. I'm going to research the resources that you had said with the Black Swan book. And man, I'm honored to have you on my show, man. It has been a lot of fun.
Thank you. No, this was great, Sean. I really appreciate it. And thank you for the opportunity to come and speak.
Oh, thank you so much, man. To all the listeners out there, I will have another episode tomorrow with my friend Mike Phillips, John Maxwell's speaker, and then we're going to have one Thursday. So we're doing like a 3-episode week this week. So as we sign off, remember to live your brand and find opportunities every day to live out the values that you set for your life. Have a good night, everybody.